Every time there has been an upsurge of the gospel anywhere in the world, there has equally been an attack against the advancement of the church. It has never happened that the church rose up, picked up the cross to move the purposes of God forward and did not face persecution, restriction, government laws, prohibition, and all kinds of satanically induced systems to hinder the spread of the gospel. But time and time again, God has had people in their generation who rose up with a global vision and decided, though we are a minority in a place, but we have a commission. And that commission is to take the name of Jesus global, that people from every nation, every tribe, every language, and every people group will bow their knees to him and declare that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This brief session is meant to inspire us to become a global people. It does not make sense for us to be people who have such a great commission but have been minimized and reduced to having a local perspective to life. It doesn't make sense. So Jesus said in John 4:35 that we should lift up our eyes and look at the fields. And then he clarified it further, saying the field is the world. John Stott, probably the foremost theologian who was also a missiologist in the 20th century, said we must be global Christians with a global vision because we serve a global God. And our coordinator, Dr. Ferdinand, often says that we must be global Christians in local churches. So while we must be rooted in an immediate spiritual family where we fellowship and derive certain spiritual nourishment, but every believer must have a global vision. I believe that one of the realities when Jesus said that we are the salt and we are the light, two critical elements, is because salt has a local effect. You don't throw salt up and down if you want it to serve its purpose. You sprinkle it in a bowl, a pot, a dish. Local. It must have effect. But light can't be contained locally. Light must have a far-reaching impact. So we are salt, but we are light. If we are going to be Christians that are relevant in the 21st century, we must have a global vision. Amen? Amen. God has always been global, right from the beginning. God is not a local champion. He's not a village head. He's a global God. Right from Genesis 1, the mandate to Adam and Eve, have dominion. It says, fill the earth. That means God had his sight set to the ends of the earth right from the beginning. Which is why he had to destroy the agenda of people that were seeking to localize his agenda. He had to confuse them in Genesis 11. In Genesis 12, God picked up again, found a man called Abraham, and gave him a global promise. He says, in you, or through you, all the nations of the earth. When you hear the word families there, please don't think about father, mother, and children. The tribes, the ethnic nationalities of the earth are a nation. The Kikuyus believe that they came from somebody called Gikuyu and Mumbi. Am I correct? Check every tribe on the face of the earth, they will trace their history to a certain ancestor. That's a family. And the promise to Abraham and to the seed of Abraham is that in us, in you and I, all the nations, all the families of the earth, all the tribes, all the ethnic people groups will be blessed through you and I. Amen? Amen. That's the promise we need to be claiming. Unfortunately, most of us only know the first part of the promise to Abraham. I will make your name great. And everybody will scream, amen. I will bless you. Amen. But what about making ourselves, that God has, actually we don't make ourselves. If we are in Christ, he has ordained that we will be the channel through which the nations will come into the blessing of Christ. We see in the next 3-4 verses all speak the same thing. Numbers 14, Psalm 72, Isaiah 6, Habakkuk 2. We see God over and over, either God or one of his prophets declaring that the knowledge of God, God's glory, will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. That has been God's unchanging agenda. God is not content with the games we play in local churches unless they have global relevance. Every local church is a base for raising global people.
Yes.
Are we together? Jesus' commission is global. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, not some, none left out, all nations. Again, that word nations, ethnic, from which we get the English word ethnic. The Greek is ethne, tribes, people groups, language affinities. Make disciples of them. It's so difficult for some people to even cross the street to make disciples, let alone cross the seas to make disciples. But that's our commission. Hallelujah. We see that it was at a global gathering that the Spirit was poured out. On the day of Pentecost, we see that people from Mesopotamia, Parthia, Media, Elam, Arabia, Egypt, Cyrene, Crete, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Pontus, Rome, people from all over the world had gathered in Jerusalem, and the Holy Ghost chose that day for his arrival so that people from every nation on earth would hear the wonderful works of God being proclaimed in their own language. Strategic opportunities. Sometimes when nations gather in a particular place, it's not a problem, it's an opportunity. For example, when the Somalis, because of crisis or drought in Somalia, have crossed into Kenya, it's not a problem. It's the greatest opportunity. One of the greatest gifts God has given the Kenyan church is to bring the Somalis across the border. But what are we doing? Complaining. They are buying our buildings. They are taking over our businesses. They are marrying our wives. They are recruiting our sons. They are marrying our daughters. They are recruiting our sons for Al-Shabaab. No, no, no. We should be celebrating and thanking God. Thank you for bringing Mogadishu to Nairobi. Now I don't need a visa to go to Mogadishu. Because Mogadishu is here. That's exactly what was happening. So we've seen the agenda of God. It has always been global. We've seen Jesus, the commission is global. And to enable us to fulfill it, the Spirit came at a global gathering so that the people would hear. And the truth is that many people who went back to their various nations after Pentecost took the gospel with them.